All right, so let's talk about these miscreants. That's what they are. They're just miscreants. Well, they're terror. I mean, I would say the Black Lives Matters crew are domestic terrorists. They really are. They're domestic terrorists. When you have that that what's his name, DeRay McKenson, isn't that his name, DeRay? When he's talking about police are engaged in ethnic cleansing. When he, again, from the left, you get language that they condemn on the right. And I don't know how many times I can bring these examples up without boring my listeners or being repetitive to my audience. But when you talk about Muslims and you make a broad generalization, you are condemned. You're called an Islamophobe. When you make a comment about illegal aliens, first off, you're condemned for even using the word illegal alien. They're not illegal aliens. They are undocumented workers. So right out of the gate, if you use the word illegal alien, you get a rap from the very start on the conversation. You're wrong. But when you start talking about illegals and crime and making generalization, making sweeping generalizations about illegals, you're called a racist. You're a bigot. All illegals commit crime. Only a very small, tiny fraction. And if you don't make these distinctions, hell, Kate's Law, the whole illegal aliens and the sanctuary city debate, that was struck down. Because as the left says, passing legislation to go after a small, teeny, tiny fraction of people is wrong. Because that law basically generalizes the entire illegal community, punishes them for what a very, very small fraction do as far as committing crime and so forth and so on. But when it comes to police and the situations that we are involved in now, in the past week, I mean, it's been going on for the last 2 years when Black Lives Matter stuff. We've been going through this rhetoric. They clump 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yeah, hell, maybe 50. We could even say 100. 100 bad cops. Cops that are just not good at doing their job. They take those 100 cops and say those 100 cops represent the 1.3 million that work and in neighborhoods and cities and so forth and so on in the United States of America. And the left gets away with it. They get away with it. They get away with it. No one calls them out. No one calls the Huffington Post out. No one calls the Daily Beast out. Nobody calls CNN out. Nobody calls ABC out. Why? Because liberals control the media. Liberals control the media. I know it's a played out statement from me. I know it's something that I'm constantly harping on. But the only way we on the right are going to be able to change anything is if we drill that into the people's heads that can actually make a difference. I can't make a difference. I mean, me, myself, I can't make a difference. I have, $1 billion. If I did, trust me. Trust me. I'd be making a difference. But I don't. So because I don't have $1 million, I can't buy a CNN, or I can't buy an ABC. I can't buy a Time Warner. I can't buy media empires. Can't do it. But if I keep harping on the fact that the only way we on the right are going to make a difference and actually get things changed will be owning segments of the media. That's the only way. It's the only way. It's the only way. It's the only way. Because then the CNNs and the Time Warners would be challenged. So when they go after Trump or they go after the right for talking about Muslims or talking about illegal aliens, and they're called racists and they're called Islamophobes, and the list goes on and on. That can be flipped when the Don Lemons start talking about having to act a certain way around cops because he's black. That's a whole that's a whole nother fascinating tidbit by Don Lemon. But we'll get to that in a second. But remember, Black Lives Matter came out the other day, and they issued a big statement. And I think we have a story up now that has the from the Black Lives Matter crew, where they say to assign the actions of one person to an entire movement is dangerous and irresponsible. We continue our efforts to bring about a better world for all of us. And they're referencing the attack in Dallas. So the Black Lives Matter crew are very upset. They're very upset because people are saying, hey, that individual and the people that support him – that group is a very small group. It's a very teeny tiny group. It's a minority. And to accuse Black Lives Matter of being part of that group is just wrong. To assign the actions of one person to an entire movement is dangerous and irresponsible. We continue our efforts to bring about a better world for all of us. Now, if that was the right, imagine if that was the right, and the right was constantly doing the same thing. Constantly making generalizations used of as it pertains to Muslims and illegal aliens. And then they come out and they are horrified because now their movement is being clumped in with the actions of one group. They would be called out for it. CNN would be running articles on their website. Don Lemon would be doing his little smug, can you believe they put out a statement saying this? Can you believe it? I mean, it would be amazing. I was going to say laughable, but this isn't a real laughing matter. Because the way the left conducts themselves, the way the media conducts themselves, it is appalling. It really is. And when they defend Black Lives Matter, when they defend Black Lives Matter, and Black Lives Matter, their whole rationale, their whole modus operandi, everything they do is about demonizing 1.3 million cops by the actions of one cop here or one cop there or two cops here or three cops there or a small department of cops in Ferguson, and to say those cops represent the 1.3 million cops is appalling. And the hypocrisy of them and the media is astonishing. It really is. It's astonishing when you point to what happened in Dallas and you point to what happened in Oakland and the Black Lives Matter crew are breaking windows in the police department. They're spray painting killers on the walls. And they say, hey, you can't condemn our entire movement because of the actions of a few, but you're condemning all the police. You're condemning every single police officer for the actions of a few. And the only reason they get away with it, the only reason Black Lives Matter gets away with it, the only reason they even exist is because the media has created this. The media gave them this platform. Because you got a whole lot of executives that have white guilt. You have a whole lot of executives that go, oh God, my grandfather's grandfather had a slave, and oh God, no, white guilt. White privilege. So they create this. They create this situation. They create a situation that really does not exist. Like I said last week, before Obama, we only discussed excessive police use of force. That's what it used to be about. Before Obama, it was excessive police force. No one ever disputed what happened. Meaning, you have Sterling, and I use Sterling as the example because the kid in Baton Rouge, we don't know the full details because everybody's going off of a girlfriend who started filming her boyfriend dying. So we have no idea what happened before that. We have no idea. And for everybody to kind of jump on the crazy bandwagon of, oh my God, it was an execution. Oh, this is what happened. You can't. But put that aside. Because if it comes out that the cop was just a bad cop, not a racist cop, but a cop that's just not a good cop. Cop that has an itchy trigger finger because he's nervous because of the things that have gone on in that community or in other parts of the country, whatever. Like I've said before, there's bad cops. It used to just be about bad cops. It used to just be about corrupt cops. But Obama created this other layer that was never there before. Was never there before. But let's take the Sterling situation as an example. Before Obama was president, the only thing we'd be talking about was, did the cops use excessive force? That's it. Not racism, because the cops getting involved was not about race. They took a call. They took a call that said, this individual and this description did this act. So when the cops rolled up into the parking lot, they went, oh, there's a person that fits the description, and they're doing everything that we got the call on. They engaged in a conversation that evolved into Sterling not doing what he was supposed to be doing, which then led to him being shot. So at the end of the day, the police didn't roll up in the parking lot, get out of their car, and go, oh, there's a black guy selling CDs. Let's just F with him. That wasn't the case. So the whole circumstances of the situation are being skewed because of Black Lives Matter, because of President Obama, and because of the media. And this would never have happened before. Before, this would have been a story. People would have heard the story. And people would have went, well, some cops used excessive force. But they didn't go after the guy just because he was black. They got a call. Gun. All of these things equal criminal. All of these things equal cops doing their job. Should be about excessive force. And that's a legitimate argument. 100%. That's a legitimate argument. No different than teachers, doctors, lawyers, all do a job a different way. They all do a job a different way. Some of those ways are bad. Some of those ways are good. some of those ways are mediocre. That's life. That's life. Why do you have a Peyton Manning and Tom Brady? And why do you have Johnny Manziel? Not everybody's great at their job. Plain and simple. So we would normally be discussing excessive force. And excessive force has absolutely no color whatsoever. Absolutely no what. Let's put it this way. Freddie Gray, there were black police officers involved. If you look at the people that were involved in the Freddie Gray case, half were black. So it wasn't a white police officers killed Freddie Gray. Hell, the guy that drove the van that supposedly gave him the rough ride, if I recall, was black. So a black cop supposedly, as far as Black Lives Matters are concerned, drove the van and purposely flung Freddie Gray around, which got him killed. Now, there's been trials going on, and these cops have been beating the case. They've been beating the charges. And the judge in the case is black. I know you don't hear a lot about the Freddie Gray situation because it doesn't play in the narrative of the media. It doesn't play in the narrative of the Black Lives Matter crew. Because you have black police officers involved. You have a black judge involved. And that doesn't fit the narrative of Whitey stacking the deck against the black man. That's how it is with the left. That's how it is with the left. When you have states that have Democrats as governor, or you have states where you have cities where Democrats control every aspect, the state house, and you have that city with a high unemployment rate and a high murder rate, it gets ignored. Just like Chicago. Nobody ever talks about Chicago. The only people that talk about Chicago are the conservatives. It's the only people that talk about Chicago. Conservatives. We point out, hey, if you're worried about black folk dying, if you're worried about gun violence, why don't you go into Chicago? Didn't Spike Lee make a movie about the violence in Chicago? Didn't he call Chi-Rack? Something like that? That got swept. Spike Lee swept it under the rug. When you see Spike Lee, he talks about white police officers killing unarmed black men who are just walking down the street, sipping on a cup of tea. He doesn't even talk about his own movie. He doesn't even talk about the problems in Chicago, but that's the left does. That's what the left does. That's what Black Lives Matter does. That's what the media does. And it was never like this before. Never was. Always just about excessive force. But Obama created this atmosphere. You know, me and Kate had this conversation when we were driving back from Vegas. Obama has created, along with the liberals and the media, this victim. You're a victim. Everybody's a victim. Everybody's a victim. You are where you are not because of you. You are where you are because somebody else has done something to you. And if someone else didn't do that to you, then you would be President of the United States. You would be Jay-Z. You would be Peyton Manning. Because this person did something to you. Rather, it was they called you a name, or they pushed you, or they didn't say hello, whatever. Created this environment. And it was never like, I'm 42, I'll be 43 next month. Like I've said on this show countless times before. If I got in trouble at school or got in trouble at all, it was always, what did you do? What did you do? What did you do to cause this teacher to do what they did? It was never, oh, you were doing nothing. My parents never said, oh, you were just minding your own business, right? You were just sitting there twiddling your thumbs. And then this mean police officer or this mean teacher or the mean boss came up to you and invaded your safe space and arrested you. I mean, it was never like that. It was never like that. Excuse me. It was never like that. Now, is that a generational thing? You know, I wish I had a PhD in these types of matters so I could give you this answer that could be used in Washington Post. Because that's what we go through now. Everybody uses these statistics and studies conducted by 300 people, and that represents an entire nation, and that now is the catalyst for an opinion or things of that nature that then invokes policy. You know what I go by? Experience. I go by my mind. I go about remembering what it was like 30 years ago. I go about remembering what it was like 20 years ago and how things have changed. How things have evolved into this really weird place. And when Obama comes out and gives this speech where he says, we're not as divided as some people say we are. This isn't like the 60s. Listen, the guy, I get it. He doesn't want to come out and say the sky's falling, but at some point it's kind of like terrorism and a lot of other things that we've gone through where this president is just not there. We've never been like this in the past 30 to 40 years. Okay? Again, I'm 42. We were not like this in the 80s. We were not like this in the 80s. Divided as a country. 100%. And we shouldn't be. But our leaders, the media, have created this narrative. And that being white police officers, hell, white people in general, are holding black people down. They're abusing black people. And if a black person has had any issues in their life, any problems in their life, it's not their fault. It's the white man's fault. Any issue. And that's just not how it used to be. To have black leadership, hell, I know it's a taboo thing to bring up because putting roofies in girls' drinks is not something that one should look up to. But, you know, Bill Cosby, you hear people talk about black people nowadays, and they're not treading right. This is just happening, and we've got... Listen, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, again, there was no different than there are shows now. But there were shows that had a strong black family and black characters. You know, take away Bill Cosby's personal life, focus on the good aspect of Bill Cosby. And it's amazing that when you talk about Bill Cosby and you talk about the influence that he tried to have in black folks' lives, they all condemn it. Oh, yeah, he's a raper. Yet Michael Jackson had sex with little kids. And somehow that's, like, just dismissed. And he's this role model and this icon, and he's this great guy. And it's like, okay, don't get that, but you want to pick and choose which black folk are idolized. But Bill Cosby and other leaders came from a position back in the day of black people having to better themselves. And they can't use where they come from or where they live or what people are due to them as an excuse for their own failures. Remember Boys in the Hood? You remember that? Remember that movie? That was that era that I'm talking about. Again, where we are today, a Boys in the Hood or a Bill Cosby message would never exist. Boys in the Hood was all about responsibility. Cuba Gooding Jr., Ice Cube, living in South Central. I don't have to go through the whole movie with you, but remember, Cuba Gooding Jr. came from a broken home. And at the age of 12, he was starting to get in trouble at school, and his mom sent him away to live with his father so his father could teach him to be a man. And it was played by Lawrence Fishburne. Cuba Gooding Jr., with his dad, living in a horrible neighborhood around gangs and guns and all of these things. And the whole concept of that movie was not getting trapped in that world. And don't blame everyone else for your situation. And you can be a good person, even if you're from that world. You're from that environment. No different than Bill Cosby saying, hey, you guys got to pull up your pants. I know it sounds trite now. But those were real messages. When Bill Cosby says, hey, a big problem with the black neighborhoods and the violence and things that are going on with black folk is there's no fathers in those houses. And a lot of this starts at home. And it starts with not having a family unit. And it's not just a black thing. But there's a whole bunch of white kids that turn out to be pretty crappy who came from broken homes. You know, who we are as adults and who we become as adults, how our parents raised us and how we were brought up, is like 90% of who we become. That's real, man. That's real. That is real. And nowadays, the parents take no responsibility for how they raise their kids. No responsibility. What the hell? You got the President of the United States saying you don't have to be responsible. To be responsible. And when somebody on the right says, we're going to help you, we're going to not make this divide anymore. We're going to bring peace into these communities. And people go, how are you going to do that? Well, jobs. We need to create jobs. We need to create opportunities. And people scoff at that. But it's the truth. Simple as it sounds, it's the truth. Because if you have a job, okay, if you have a job, and you're being told that, guess what? This job is your future. This job is not necessarily all you will have, but this job is a great job. This opportunity is a great opportunity. And the notion that this is just a waiting area until you become rich and famous because you married a Kardashian or whatever weird fantasy that the Beyoncés and the Jay-Z's, the Kendrick Lamar's put in these kids' heads. But if they were given the opportunity and there were jobs and they were pushed in a direction of getting a job, you're more apt not to engage in shady criminal activities. You're more likely not to be hanging around a street corner. And again, this goes for the black community and the white community. There's more than enough poor white areas of this country that have white kids. And I brought this up before. You want to take a look at just craziness. The wild whites of West Virginia, or the wild wacky whites, something of that nature. You want to see just craziness? And it's not just this isolated group. There are poor white people in this country. And guess what? Those poor white people get the crap out of them by cops. You just don't hear about it. Believe it or not, people have been programmed throughout the years to understand that if you do something bad and you get stopped by the police, be prepared to possibly take a beating if you act as stupid. There's never been a white president that has come on TV or spent 7.5 years making excuses and telling white people that, hey, how you act and who you are and where you come from, none of that is your fault. You don't have a responsibility for anything whatsoever, because it's somebody else who has put you in that place. It's just not the case. Like I said, I grew up where you did something wrong, you paid a consequence. I'll give you a quick example. When I was like 15 or 16, and a couple of my friends would walk around the block and smoke cigarettes because my parents didn't let me smoke. So we'd have our cigarettes, we'd sneak out of the house, and we'd smoke. And about two blocks away on this track, lived in a housing track, they were building houses. And we would go in the houses and smoke. Sometimes somebody would smuggle a wine cooler out of the house, maybe one or two wine coolers. And we'd all share a wine cooler, see if we can get like a little buzz, or we'd hot box the cigarettes to get a head rush. So one time we were in the house, and it's not constructed, and you know, they got windows, and we're not vandalizing it per se. I mean, just being there and throwing cigarette butts on the floor technically is vandalizing, but I'm not talking about breaking windows or anything. And this is incredibly stupid, but again, we were wrong. There are sheets of drywall, and I'm just playing with the drywall, and the drywall is kind of heavy, and I pull the drywall on me, and I'm balancing it on my leg. And I'm like, guys, look at this. How many pieces of drywall do you think I can hold up? Because I was always the bigger of my little group of 15-year-old friends. I was the guy. I was the guy that if there was trouble, I was the one that, you know, was the tough guy. I know I'm not that big and I'm not that tough, but I was bigger and tougher than the kids that I hung out with. So I'm taking drywall after drywall and I'm balancing it on me. And then finally I get to like the fifth piece of drywall or sixth piece of drywall, too heavy, and it collapses on me. I hit the ground with all the drywall on my leg. It makes a huge, I mean, like almost like an explosion. And I'm like, ah! So my two friends, Jimmy and Jason, have to lift the drywall off my legs. And we start laughing, having a good time. You know, oh, my God, that was crazy. That was nuts. So we climb out of the house. As we start walking away, all of a sudden the lights come on. Boom. And it's the Webster police. Freeze. Put your hands up. Put our hands up. Two cops get out of the car. They walk over to us. They go, what are you guys doing? And we're standing with their hands up. We're like, we're walking. The cop's like, were you in those houses? We're like, yeah. You guys live around here? We're like, yeah. So they take our names down. We tell them where. And they go, get in the car. So they actually grab three of us three, because, I mean, we're 14-year-old kids. They put us in the back seat. And then they drop us off at each of our houses. So, boom, up to the one house. Get out. Walk me to the door. It's a Friday night, so it's like, you know, 10 o'clock at night. His parents answer the door. You can just see this anger with his dad. And then, boom, he goes in. So now I go to my house. Doorbell rings. My mom answers the door, and there I am, and there's a cop. Ms. Zakari, and my mom just is like, yes. And you hear my dad, Joe, what is it? My dad gets up, and you see my dad walking to the door, and he's got his shirt off. He goes, what's going on? He goes, Ms. Zakari, he goes, yeah. I go, well, your son and his friends, and my dad's like, uh-huh. They were playing in the track houses over, and then they named the thing. And my mom goes, I thought I told you not to go up there. Yeah, well, we're not going to press charges, and we're not going to do anything like that. But whoever track building people have been calling us, saying that people have been going up there. So we assume it's not just your son and his friends, but we're starting to crack down on people hanging out in the houses, and it's not their property, blah, 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 blah. And my mom's like, uh-huh, uh-huh. So we're letting them go with, you know, out of trespassing arrest. Said, so, you know, here you go, blah, blah, blah. And he shuts the door. My parents lit into me. Oh, my God. My mom grabbed me. She grabbed me by my arm, and then my dad grabbed me by the back of my neck. They pulled me into that kitchen where they berated me. What's wrong with you? Being brought by the cops. What's wrong with you? My dad, what do you want to be, a loser? Is that what you want to be? You want to be a G-damn loser? What the hell is wrong with you? And I'm just like, ah. And I go, all we were doing, I don't care what you are doing. Anytime you're brought home by police, you are doing something wrong. I got grounded for like a month. I kid you not. That's what life was like 30 years ago. That's what life was like 30 years ago. That was life 30 years ago. There was no, oh, it's all right, baby. You guys weren't doing anything wrong. You should be able to walk where you want to walk. You should be able to play in those houses. There was no signs that said no trespassing. There was no ropes or barriers. That's public property. You should be able to. There's none of that. There's absolutely none of that. We are now in a part of society where you can close down freeways, where you can throw bottles at police officers, where you can throw fireworks at police officers, and the media will call it a peaceful protest. Listen, when you're blocking a freeway, okay? When you're blocking roads that go to hospitals or go to work, airports, when you are blocking, halting the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, it is not peaceful. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Do you get peaceful means? When you are getting in a police officer's face, okay? When you are getting in a police officer's face and you are screaming at the top of your lungs, it is not peaceful. It's not peaceful. Absolutely not peaceful. Well, I was in Vegas, okay? Or I should say, on my way back from Vegas. You had Black Lives Matters shutting down the 405 freeway out here in Los Angeles for about 10 to 15 minutes. And the police said, guys, you want to protest, you can protest there. You want to protest, you can go over to that area. But you cannot come on the freeway. You can't do it. Can't go on to the interstate. Can't do it. It's not peaceful. And if you keep advancing and you're screaming at police and you're throwing things at them, you're going to get pepper sprayed. You're going to get arrested. I mean, this is all stunts by these Black Lives Matter people. They're all stunts. They are all stunts, plain and simple. They got a picture that's going around the internet, of course. And it's of a woman being arrested. She's a black woman with the dress on. And, of course, it's the photograph that everyone is talking about. But it's a stunt. It's a stunt. It's a manufactured stunt. So they can be famous on Instagram. So they could be famous on Twitter. So Don Lemon can show the picture and go, oh, this is just like the 60s with Dr. King. No, it's not. No, it's not. These are orchestrated stunts when the police in Baton Rouge say, you guys could protest here, you guys could protest there, but you can't be here on the roadways. You can't be here on the interstate. If you are, we're going to arrest you. Plain and simple. So when they say that, and they have a police line, and they're moving people back, and somebody just walks out with their hands folded, and they say, arrest me, and the police arrest them, and then there's a photographer there, oh, go figure, to snap these pictures. It's a stunt. It's a stunt. It's a scam. It's like ISIS going on social media with the 12-year-old boy holding up a severed head. It's a stunt. That's it. There's nothing spontaneous. The Baton Rouge photograph that everyone is talking about. Like it's they are acting like, and this is what I love about the media and about Black Lives Matter and about the left. Oh, they act like this is China. Remember the Tiananmen Square, whatever the hell that thing was? And the person stands in front of the tank? What do you think? They're like, hey, photographer guy, hey, this is what's going to be awesome. I'm going to run out there and stand in front of the tank. Yeah, here we go. Okay, you ready? Ready? All right, let's go. Here we go. No. Nothing with Black Lives Matter is spontaneous, orchestrated. It's all a scam. It's an orchestrated scam. They make money from it. Listen, all it is a different version of what Al Sharpton and Reverend Jesse Jackson did. That's all it is. Al Sharpton used to do this stuff ad nauseum. Look up Tawana Brawley. Look up that case. Look at countless other cases. Look up the Al Sharpton rhetoric. Just look at Al Sharpton. 400 pounds wearing track suits with gold medallions. Giant coiffed afro, Fu Manchu. Made millions of dollars. And then trained his kids how to work the system and pretend they get hurt in accidents and make claims for millions of dollars. And they can't walk, and they're in a neck brace. Ah, oh, I'm hurting. And then weeks later, they're posting pictures on Instagram hiking. People are like, whoa, this doesn't look like you're hurt. All this is another version. But this time, listen, the media, they would have loved to have been able to use an Al Sharpton look at Al Sharpton today. He's on MSNBC. So this is just another version, but it's like, okay, we're going to learn from Al Sharpton mistakes. We've got a whole new generation of people that we can feed on, and for the first time, we have a president who's Black and who's leading the charge of feeding this animal. And we're going to use social media. We're going to use everything that the Al Sharptons didn't have. So that's all this is. and that DeRay Mekas, what's his name, McKesson, he's Al Sharpton 2.0. He says the same outlandish stuff that Al Sharpton used to say. Police are engaged in ethnic cleansing. Not some police, but police. That's like Muslims are trying to kill everyone in the United States. What's wrong with you? How can you say that? You're Islamophobic. Nobody says, hey, DeRay, how can you say police? Why don't you say some police in this area? Some police in that. How can you just say police? You mean 1.3 million police? That's what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. So DeRay is just a new version of Al. As a matter of fact, Al Sharpton. You know how pissed off Al Sharpton is? Because Black Lives Matter is everything that he wished his group was. And they all had variations. Let's see, Jesse Jackson had, I think it was the Rainbow Coalition, something like that. Al Sharpton's like some action pact, or I can't remember the exact. Whatever it is, Al Sharpton owes millions of dollars in back taxes. All these are money-making scams. That's it. When police tell you if you cross this line, we're going to arrest you, and you cross the line, that's not spontaneous. That's not black people trying to vote or black people trying to eat food at a restaurant that's whites only. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, the owner pulls out a fire hose and starts spraying down black folk. And there's a camera there to capture it. That's spontaneous. But when cops go, if you come into this area, we're going to arrest you. And a black girl walks up and goes, arrest me. And there's the photographer to take the picture. And now everyone's going to be talking about it. Guy Jim Roberts. He puts on Twitter the picture. It goes, powerful image of protester being detained near HQ of the Boston Rogue Police Department. Baton Rouge Police Department. I hate when I mispronounce stuff. Powerful image. How is it a powerful image? It's fake. It's contrived. Can't be powerful if it's contrived. Do you get that? Or am I a dummy here? If you have a photographer whose sole purpose is to take pictures of things of that nature, if that's your sole purpose, and you have people whose sole purpose is to become famous, then it's not powerful. It's contrived. It's fake. It's not powerful. But the media is playing into it, calling the photograph iconic. Iconic? How is that iconic? How is that iconic? Hey, if you guys cross this line, we're going to arrest you. All right. Hey, photographers, you guys ready? Okay, we're all ready. We're all in place. Okay, here we go. Here I go. Arrest me. I'm walking across. Okay, come on. We're going to arrest you. Snap, 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 snap. say? Iconic. Woo! It's not iconic. It's not. It's a work. It's a work. It's a scam. No different than when the media keeps saying peaceful protest in Dallas. It was a peaceful protest. And then this lone wolf killer who had no affiliation to Black Lives Matter wasn't influenced by DeRay Mekeson saying police are engaged in ethnic cleansing. I mean, the rhetoric. Compare Trump's rhetoric. Seriously, compare Trump's rhetoric to DeRay's rhetoric, and DeRay has Trump beat 10 to 1. And now add the fact that five police officers were murdered, and no outrage. Instead, it's iconic, iconic pictures. And the media talks about a peaceful protest in Dallas. There was people taking pictures with police officers. You keep hearing that, taking pictures. And they got one picture of a black guy with a sign that says, no justice, no peace, with a black cop and a white cop. That's the pictures. No other pictures exist. No other pictures exist. There's no... Listen, when somebody goes, it was a peaceful protest, you had protesters taking pictures with police officers. If Trump talked like this, sleepy-eyed Chuck Todd would go, pictures, Mr. Trump, when you're saying pictures, that means more than one pictures. We can only find one picture, Mr. Trump. We can only find one picture. But nobody Who's going to challenge the left? What quote unquote conservative is going to challenge anybody on the left? The people they have on these shows are paid by those shows. They're paid and they're told to stay within the bounds of what they want them to say. That's what they're told. Stay in the bounds. So if an SE Cup, these fake conservatives, these fake Republicans, and even them, they don't, the narrative in the media and the narrative with even the fake conservatives is victims, 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 victims. That's the narrative. When you hear or watch or whatever panels and they go, it was peaceful protests in Dallas, and they were even taking, I watched Don Lemon say this, and you had protesters taking pictures of police officers. Nobody went, Don, I've seen one picture. You're saying people, you're saying there was this summer of love, there was this Woodstock environment. Where are all these pictures, Don? Nobody does that. No, it's choreographed, just like the picture's choreographed. Plain and simple, guys. And I hate myself, but I will. We are never, ever going to be able to reverse all of this. Unless we control the media. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. We don't control the media. We don't control any of this rhetoric from the left. Then the average folk at home, the low information, not just voter, but just the low information person who watches these shows for their news. I watched a report the other day that said at the from internet, from radio, all of this stuff factored in. Ultimately, TV was still the way people get their news. Plain and simple. You have to control the media. Listen, last week, Don Lemon, okay, and I'm paraphrasing. If I wasn't in Vegas and watching Copperfield do magic, I would have had this clip. And maybe I'll have it the clip tomorrow. But Don Lemon, while he's talking to, of course, the biggest dog whistler in the entire world, which is Van Jones. So you got Van Jones, you got Don Lemon, and I can't remember one of the other people that were up there talking about how they interact with police. And here's Don Lemon. And of course, a low information voter is sitting there and they're watching this. And there's no pushback whatsoever. So Don Lemon is allowed to say whatever he wants. And after the Melissa Perry Harris incident at MSNBC, these executives, they're never going to discipline a Don Lemon, a Van Jones. They're never going to be put in a position where they can have them go, oh, they did this because I'm black. That's because that's what Melissa Perry Harris did. I was fired because I was black. They don't like me because I'm black. Blah, 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 blah. Again, if you're black and you're fired because you're black, not because you suck. If you're arrested because you're black, it's not because you broke the law, it's because you're black. Plain and simple. So Don Lemon, he's talking to these people, and he tells the guys, he goes, listen, I changed the way I interact with police. And here I am, somewhat famous. I'm on TV. People recognize me. But I say, yes, sir. Hello, sir. I interact with police. And I think to myself, I'm a grown man. Why should I have to act like that with them? And then I see my white friends and the way they talk to cops, and I think to myself, I would never, ever talk to police like that. So I know what it's like. And I'm thinking, wow, wow, what an over-the-top, ridiculous statement. What you would then have is a low information person sitting at home. And remember, TV is where the majority of people still get their news. So they're watching this black guy on CNN. And this black guy is going, hey, it is so bad out there that even me, Don Lemon, the guy that gets in jacuzzi tubs with white women on New Year's Eve, guy who talks about Kathy Griffin's breasts on New Year's Eve, even me, I have to talk to police a certain way, or they'll beat me up. And he says this stuff, and there's nobody to go, whoa, time out, Don. First off, First off, Donnie. Okay, Donnie. Okay. What you said is so ridiculous, and we need to just kind of dissect the ridiculousness of what you said. First off, where are you that you're engaged with police officers where you have to go, yes, sir, hi, sir? Where are you engaged in a situation where you have to act like that? And if it's a situation where you're not being arrested, wouldn't you address anybody? Oh, sir, how are you? And furthermore, what kind of situation are you in where you're with some white guys and a police officer rolls up and you guys go, hi, Mr. Police Officer. And your white friend goes, hey, what's up, pig? What's up, copper? What's up, douchebag? I mean, what my white friends say to what white? Who do you hang out with? And where are you involved where you have white friends that are interacting with police officers and it's you with them and you're saying, hello, sir. How are you, sir? And your white friend's like, what's up, pig? What's up? But there's no one there to push anything back from Lemon. So you're a low information voter and you just go, wow, I guess the world outside, I guess the country outside of this little bubble that exists where I live in Western New York and Rochester, New York and in Penfield, man, I don't experience this in my neighborhood, but I guess it exists everywhere else in the United States because if Don Lemon, this famous broadcaster, is talking about how he has to interact with police, wow, it must be really bad out there. I mean, that's the message that's conveyed to the low information voter, the people that get their information from the TV, plain and simple. Isn't it funny that you go to Fox, which the night shows are conservative, but if you go to Fox and you watch Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and a lesser extent Megyn Kelly, they'll play the clips of the Black Lives Matter that shows them marching, talking about pigs in a blanket, fry the pigs. This isn't a fringe group saying this. This is Black Lives Matter. Or they show the rally in New York where they're talking about, what do we want? Dead cops. What do we want? Dead cops. Fox plays that, but CNN doesn't. Why is that? When Don Lemon is talking to Alicia Garza, co-founder of Black Lives Matter, and they're bringing up the Rudy Giuliani conversation that he had the other day. And Giuliani says, Black Lives Matter is inherently racist. And Don Lemon is questioning Alicia Garza and just like, how do you respond to that? And she's going, I don't know. That's so wrong. Don Lemon doesn't go, well, Alicia, how do you explain this? And then play the clip. He doesn't do that. Why? Why? Why doesn't the media do that? Why doesn't the media do that? CNN doesn't do it. MSNBC doesn't do it. ABC doesn't do it. The only people that do it is Fox. I mean, guys, don't you think this is bizarre? And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to the choir. They don't show where in Baton Rouge they're throwing bottles. They don't show that. When they talk about the peaceful, when they talk about the peaceful protests, they don't show bottles being thrown at police officers. They just keep saying, peaceful protest. Look, iconic image. A girl being arrested. Oh, iconic image. They never show that. Do you realize CNN, and there were video B-roll of it because Bill O'Reilly showed it. So CNN, MSNBC didn't show any footage of the Black Lives Matter protests in Oakland where they vandalized the police station and they spray-painted walls and they broke windows. None of them broadcasted that footage. Don't you think that's odd? Don't you see this is a creation? This is a creation. It's a fugazi. It's fake. It's fake. This is fake. Fake. It's a fraud. And what's more amazing is that Black Lives Matter is a hate group. It's a hate group. You know how you always hear of these hate. Listen, and I've said this last week, and I'll continue to say it. When you go online and you go to Twitter and you see different people talking about different races, good, bad, indifferent, and they have a Trump logo on their header or in their tagline, they say they support Trump. And individuals say, oh, Donald Trump is bringing out hate. Donald Trump is creating this environment. I mean, Jesse Jackson the other day. Imagine. Jesse Jackson. Old school DeRay McKesson. He was being interviewed on Fox News Sunday. And the woman asks him, this Shannon Bream, you have said that you think Donald Trump, at least in part, has contributed to a very divisive mood in this country. You called part of that an anti-black mood. I want to play a little bit of what he said in response to the shooting and events of the last few days and then get your reaction. So she played the clip of Trump, and he said, a brutal attack on our police force is an attack on our country and an attack on our families. The deaths of Alton Sterling in Louisiana and Philando Castile in Minnesota also make clear how much more work we have to do to make every American feel that their safety is protected. Now, there's nothing wrong with that statement. I mean, that's a very measured, and if it wasn't Donald Trump, and it was Donald Trump, the GOP front runner, who doesn't have any of the baggage that comes with Donald Trump, people would be applauding. People would be excited. People would be like, wow, the GOP gets it. That was a great statement. This is what Jesse Jackson said. Well, those significant remarks, but I submit to you that when you do the birther movement on the president, which is a dog whistle for a kind of anti-black, the anti-Mexican, the deportation of 15 million people, of families, the disruption, and anti-Muslim, that kind of rhetoric has helped to seed these clouds. I hope Mr. Trump will maintain the level of rhetoric that we just now heard. But DeRay McKesson saying police engage in ethnic cleansing. Police are the Nazis. Like I said, the left are able to get away with all of this hate. You want to talk about hate? Listen, there is no hate in saying if you are here illegally, you have to go. That's not hate. It's not hate. Now, if you want to change the law, then change the law. That's what you want to do, change the law. And guess what? President Obama and the Democrats had a chance to change the law. But they didn't think illegal immigration was important enough to get done in the first 2 to 3 years. But you're talking about illegal immigration. Okay? Illegal immigration. And when people say the birther movement was anti-black, first off, let me remind everybody, Donald Trump did not invent the birther movement. Hillary Clinton and her crew invented the birther movement. Hillary Clinton and her crew sowed the seeds of questioning Obama's heritage long before Trump did. All Trump did in 2012 was seize on what Hillary Clinton created back in 07. He did it to try to help the GOP elect Mitt Romney. He did it so Mitt Romney didn't have to do it. Donald Trump sowed that seed so Romney and the GOP didn't have to do it. And all Trump did was take all the memos and all the talking points that the Hillary camp created. And that's a fact. And that's a fact from Democrats, Halpern and the other guy, the guys who did Game Change, the guys who are on MSNBC. What is it? All Due Respect or whatever their show is. And they had this show on Showtime about the primaries. They say the same thing. Hillary Clinton started the birther movement. So it wasn't an anti-black thing. It was anti-Obama. And Trump did the same thing to Ted Cruz. So it has nothing to do with race. And the notion that Obama is a Muslim, well, I think people are starting to go, maybe there's something to that. Not saying he's a terrorist. Not saying anything of that nature, but yeah, him being a Muslim, him growing up in the Muslim faith, regardless of him being it now, you could still be it privately. can still hold that near and dear to your heart. But regardless, that's not race. Okay? And anti-Muslim? Well, we've gone over the whole Muslim situation ad nauseum. And if you go to our site, robzakarishow.com, you could read about Muslims in Pakistan who kill thousands and thousands and thousands of little girls year after year because they somehow have dishonored their moms and dads for things like helping a friend elope or not marrying the person to marry. And to say, hey, we need to be a little selective on who comes into the country from these countries and make sure that they're not carrying these values, these traditions. Disease like tuberculosis and other things of that nature. But to say, time out. Different than when my grandmother, who's dead, been dead for a while, immigrated to this country from Italy through Ellis Island and was quarantined for 3 weeks because she had mumps or whatever, I don't know, weird diseases they had back then, and they had no real shots and medicine. Listen, we're talking about the 1900s. So again, the things that Jesse Jackson has listed are not racist. When DeRay McKesson says police engage in ethnic cleansing, that's racist. When Black Lives Matter are screaming pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, and what do we want? Dead cops. That's racist. When you go on Black Lives Matter Twitter feeds, people that are Black Lives Matter supporters, and they're talking about lynching now, you're all getting a little too bold now, it's wartime. Let me be the first to say there is a war coming because we are sick and tired. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. We will be at the rally tonight. Wake up. Race war is here. I mean, these are people that are part of the Black Lives Matter movement who are talking about lynching and killing white people. When Donald Trump talks about illegal immigration, it's a far cry from see at the rally tonight. We got a race war. And a breaking news. We don't know the extent of what is going on, but a police officer has just been shot. Yes, another police officer was just shot in Michigan. We don't know the full details, but I just seen it come through the news wire. Said a police officer outside of a courthouse in Michigan. I mean, guys, I think this is going to become a new norm. Just like these hate marches, because that's what they are, they're hate marches. These hate marches are going to continue night after night. the DeRay McEnison and people like him aren't going to stop. Why would you stop? Why would you stop when you have people like John Avalon from the Daily Beast and the Don Lemons and the Lawrence O'Donnells and the Joy Reids? Why would you stop when you're getting all this publicity? Why would you stop when you're getting this pass? Why would you stop when you're allowed to throw bottles at cops, break windows, shut down the 405 freeway in Los Angeles, riot in Rochester, New York, my hometown, shut down freeways in Baton Rouge, Minnesota? Why would you stop when it's reported that these are all peaceful protests? Why would you stop? Why would you stop when the President of the United States says this is completely justifiable? Why would you stop? When five police officers get slaughtered and people tell you to keep going, why would you stop? There's no reason to stop. It's only going to get worse. 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 Mark my words. It's only going to get worse. All right, so Rob's Curry, we're going to wrap this up. I got to go to a doctor's appointment today with the beautiful, talented, ever sexy Cat Howe. So I got to get ready for that. Go to our Twitter feed and go to my Instagram. I don't know if any of you know about my Instagram. Not that it's spectacular or anything like that, but I post pictures and little goofy things, and it's kind of hip, cool. It's Rob Zicari Show on Instagram, Rob Zicari Show. Go there because I'm going to post some pictures of the David Copperfield event and some Vegas pictures, some good stuff like that. Also, go to the Twitter. Don't forget, it's at Rob Zicari Show, at Rob Zicari Show. So check it out. And don't forget, of course, the website, therobzicarishow.com, therobzicarishow.com. We're going to see you guys tomorrow, and we'll get more updates on this police officer that was shot outside the Michigan courthouse, because it's just breaking now. We don't know the full extent. Governor Rick Snyder says the secured scene at the Barron County courthouse has started its investigation to the shooting that occurred this afternoon. So I'll give you guys more details tomorrow. We'll see how the media treats this. Of course, it's all good, right? It's all good. It's all good, media. It's all good, Don Lemon. It's all good. It's just peaceful protests because of the injustice that's going on with black folk. And tomorrow we're going to break down some statistics. We're going to do it today, but I want to get more information. There's like four different stories, because the Washington Post puts out a story, okay, and then another conservative newspaper puts out a story to counteract that story, and then another blogger puts out a story to combat both those stories. So when you have, listen, when you have situations, that have the entire nation rioting, shooting cops, You better have statistics. You better have statistics that nobody can dispute. And tomorrow, I'm going to present to you statistics that Obama quotes at Black Lives Matter, and then I'm going to present you statistics that people dispute the Obama Black Lives Matter statistics. And when you're talking about disputing statistics that are involving riots and police murders, then you know it's all a ruse. You know Black Lives Matter is a work. It's a fantasy. Because you shouldn't be able to dispute numbers, and you shouldn't be able to take some people out of the statistical numbers, and that gives one side or the other proof in dispelling those numbers. That means everybody is fighting about, what everybody's dying about, are manufactured and made up. And that's frightening, ladies and gentlemen. That's frightening. It's the Rob Scarry Show. We'll see you guys tomorrow for another huge day of broadcasting. Goodbye.